Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Technical evangelist Tommy Patterson welcomes infrastructure engineer Mike Dragone to the show as they discuss Mike's review of Windows Server 2012. Tune in as they discuss some of Mike's favorite features, what makes Windows Server 2012 stand out from other offerings, as well as how it's meeting many challenges IT pros are facing today. Tommy, the mic is yours.
Hi, welcome everybody to this edition of TechNet Radio. Today we're going to be talking to a customer who's done a review on Windows Server 2012 and some of his thoughts. His name is Mike Dragone. Mike, let's jump right in. I want to hear a little bit about your background, your experience with Windows Server, and see what all you've got to share with us.
Sure. I've done plenty of stuff at Windows Server. I've been in IT now maybe, I guess, around 15 years. And, well, I do a little bit of everything. Most of the server operating system I work with is Windows Server. So I've used Windows Server all the way back from the NT4 days all the way through now to what's just released as 2012.
Very, very cool. I started there as well. I remember going through the Networking Essentials class, and I was in doing a show, an IT Pro camp in Raleigh just this week, and I brought up that during the Networking Essentials class, we were told, you need to learn IPv6. And this is back when they said, in the next 3 years, IPv6 will take over because there's no IP addresses left. I don't know if you had the same thing happen.
I remember that.
Yeah, here we are today, and I've still run into a shop here and there that's going to IPv6, and I heard rumor that the last IPv4 was handed out just recently. Just a little bit of background on me. I'm Tommy Patterson. I'm the IT pro out of Atlanta area, and mainly what I do is go through, do dev camp or pro camps and blog posts, videos, articles on things that are exciting and new, especially in around the virtualization and cloud space. So I get to interact with a lot of customers who are, knee-deep in virtualization for the most part. Very exciting stuff today. Yesterday, last night, watching the people pile up in Manhattan to get their hands on the first Surface. I think we're entering a new era at Microsoft. So today we're going to focus on the back end side, the server side. And you want to share with us what your top features are of the new Server 2012? There's so many that we could list, but I want to hear the top features that you really like in it.
Well, I think the top features that pop out right away are, one of them is the change in the interfaces. Now that we have Server Manager, can be managed remotely, remote PowerShell, the addition of the Hyper-V features that make it more and more competitive with VMware, with no additional cost, just included in the product. Mm-hmm. And some of the other things like now Server Core doesn't have to be Server Core, or full GUI. There's the intermediate one where you can have some of the stuff but not all of it. And it's just more of a well-rounded product. Windows releases or Windows Server releases over the past, since 2003 have been pretty solid. And I think 2012 continues that.
I agree. I think the challenge that Microsoft faced in the past few years, we had VMware was running rampant in the environment. They had a great offering there, and it really took off. But what I saw, and I was for the last few years, I've been working with customers, consulting with customers on performance in virtualization, mainly in VMware. And what I continued to see from customer to customer was that performance or configuration issues caused a lot of pain. They weren't really sure where the problems were, and they had to go out and grab third-party tools and such to help them, wrangle that in. When I see with 2012, with storage spaces and with the new management piece, the new server manager, the way this works and the way you can reach across your environment and troubleshoot things much more effective than in the past, plus you throw in the new Hyper-V, you get a full, one source, one stack to deal with when it comes to the cloud, when it comes to virtualization. It's just a complete offering. And the performance.
That was always the nicest things about Windows Server. I mean, it was always a complete offering. It always had, you know, one of the things that I always brought up was somebody would need some Radius server, let's say, for some project they were working on. And they start going out and looking for Radius servers. And it's always, well, just use the one built into Windows Server. You know, it has a Radius server. It has this. It has network access protection. It has virtualization. Mm-hmm. There isn't a lot that's not in the core product, at least not anymore, that you have to go out and find a third-party product to use.
That's right. That's right. So I guess it kind of brings us into our next segue. What challenges are IT pros facing today?
Well, you know, people ask that, oh, we're going to have new challenges here and new challenges there, but do we really? Now we have the cloud, but cloud computing is very similar to what we did for all the old-timers. We did this in mainframes.
Mm-hmm.
Did it with mainframes and terminals. And then years later, there was a push for when terminal services first came out, there was the thin client. So it's all still client-server, except now we're moving the server into cloud-based or internet-based solutions. But mm-hmm. if you really think about it, we've been using internet-based or cloud solutions for a long time. I mean, Hotmail's been around for, what, 12 years now, 15 years, and that was a cloud service. It was a service on the internet that you accessed not locally.
Right.
But one of the things we have now is that it's much more robust. And I think one of the biggest challenges is figuring out what to integrate locally versus what to integrate remotely and then putting the two of them together. Because there's still that disparity between, well, I'm going to host this locally, and then this is going to go in the cloud, but I need to use a local authentication store. So I have to make that talk to the cloud somehow. Mm-hmm. So now we're in another phase where we have to integrate almost two totally different systems. Because there is a lot of benefit to moving certain things to the cloud. One of the things I always tell people to move first is your email filtering. Who wants to receive spam?
Right.
And process it when you could have supercomputers virtually just handle them.
Right.
Or for a smaller business, why do I need to host my email locally?
Oh, right.
Especially if you're, you know, like a friend of mine was working at, he's a consultant, and he was working with, it was a small business, either it was a jewelry store or a pawn shop or some small business like that, and they were going to buy a server. Or two or three servers to put in their office. And he's like, well, why? And they said, well, we need email. And he said, mm-hmm. but what do you need email for? You can just use your internet connection and we'll just put you on a cloud email provider. And they didn't even know that was possible. They thought that if you need
right.
email, you need to have a server. But
right, because the customer,
anymore.
Yeah, the customer hadn't even thought, am I going to be able to do backups? How do I keep it up if it goes down?
Right.
Bringing in a server, especially in a small shop with no dedicated IT person,
so you
know,
it's a huge undertaking.
What's that? It's a huge
It's huge.
That's right. I think a good challenge that we face right now, and it depends on the size of the shop, like you said, is, you know, small shops have a different challenge than the medium size, even enterprise. The challenge I'm seeing is that we're still defining what cloud is. In some of our shops. So there's private cloud, there's public cloud. And I remember back during my interview process with Microsoft, they asked me, what is cloud computing? It's such a generic question that you have to really take a step back and think, well, who are you talking to? Who's your target audience when you're discussing this? If it's a CIO, we may be talking about public cloud. We may be talking about software as a service, you know, and putting your email out in the cloud and not worrying with it certainly sounds great, but it brings its own challenges. And you know, they have to weigh those pieces out. But the biggest challenge that I'm still facing is when you say cloud, it means so many things to so many people. Private cloud, I asked this question in my pro camp in Raleigh this week. What is a private cloud? I got about 10 different answers. I guess the most holistic answer was a set of resources that has self-service, it's elastic, it can expand, as it needs to, and it still gives the customer what they need when they need it. That was probably the best answer I heard. But
that sounds like the answer I would give too. It's a dynamic computing platform that you're running yourself.
Right.
Someone else isn't doing the heavy lifting. It's in your data center. It's in your wherever you're storing it. Could be somebody else's data center, but your equipment. But
right.
You're responsible.
And with the abilities built into 2012, what we're seeing is live migration, storage live migration, all these different features that used to be something an enterprise shop could afford are now built into even the most standard offering of Server 2012. So you start getting into the elasticity piece right away. We're not talking about a huge investment just to get to that piece. The PowerShell scripting, all those pieces that are really a lot more robust than they used to be, give that flexibility that you can do anything you want in 2012. In fact, you can even make it as simple as you want with the core offering, where you can just install a core, no GUI, very few features turned on except the features you want. So what do you think makes Server 2012 stand out from the other offerings on the market today? Have you looked at any of the other pieces out there, competition?
Well, I'm familiar with VMware, but it's not really a server operating system. But in terms of virtualization, VMware has plenty of full-featured products. The downside to them is always the cost.
Mm-hmm.
It just costs more. And years ago, when it was virtual server before it was Hyper-V, there was some benefit to paying VMware a chunk of money because their product was better. But Hyper-V caught up so much that nowadays I hear from people saying, well, we're really evaluating both of them,
mm-hmm.
trying to decide, especially for new projects. They're deciding which way to go on these things.
Yeah, they had an interview at the VMworld Europe, and it was published in an article that over half of the people there were looking into Hyper-V. This is something that a year ago you wouldn't have heard, right?
Right, because it just wasn't an option, but now it is. It's definitely
it's quite viable
to it. Yep. Plus, I think one of the big benefits of Windows Server is just its familiarity. Everybody's run into it at some point or another. Even if you're just starting in IT, you probably started on a Windows machine. So when you move to the server side, it's still very familiar. You don't feel lost and say,
right.
Well, I have to learn this all from the beginning, or how am I going to get support for this? I mean, most people know Microsoft products and the technology behind it. It's
mm-hmm.
easy to get support from your coworkers or colleagues or friends who are in the industry. You're not on an island all by yourself. Depending on the product you get, I've seen products, third-party products, not necessarily in virtualization, but third-party products where not many people use it, and one day you'll get stuck on something, and you either have to contact the vendor or contact a support partner or something like that, and you're confident you can fix it yourself, but you can't because there's no documentation on it, or it's restricted, or things like that. And so the familiarity of Windows is one of its best benefits.
And then you add on what you started with in the conversation was the new server manager, which when you first bring it up, you think, oh, no, where am I at? But then you start looking at it. I guess the best example is I wanted to change the IP address on my server. Well, if you're in Server Manager, you click a little link that shows the IP address, and it automatically takes you to the properties for that network, which in the past was a few more clicks. So that Server Manager screen has actually taken what we knew and loved in the product and just enhanced it that much more, brought it all into one place, plus you can manage other servers right from the same page. So I think you're right. That knowing how the operating system works or knowing how to handle the operating system is a big piece of it. having all of the features or roles available to you in one place. So going through and doing the install a role or install a feature process, very much simplified. And I love the new the compatibility check that it does. That piece is very robust, very thorough. So,
and it's familiar to people who've seen, Windows Phone, or they play with Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
They start up Server 2012, and they go, oh, this looks familiar.
Yep.
And they know what kind of UI elements they can click on and how they can get around, and it was easy to navigate. It's easier to navigate than the existing Server Manager from, say, 08.
Yeah, that was the one of the guys chimed in at one of my pro camps and said, you got a new splash screen. You got this new Windows 8 screen on my server. And I said, yeah. And he goes, I don't know if I like it or not. And I said, hit the Windows button, go back to that splash screen, and just start typing what you want to see. And he did. He saw what he needed, and he clicked. He said, wow. I said, okay, now that you've done that, hit the Windows key X. And it brought up the mini menu. I don't know if you've seen that. It brings up this mini menu that gives you programs and features, Vent Viewer, Systems, mm-hmm. Task Manager, all these things in one little place on the left-hand menu that you would have normally had to click Start, go find this thing that you're looking for. It's so much more simplified. So we've got all this stuff right. What are you looking for in future versions of Windows Server that we just aren't meeting yet?
I always look for more PowerShell stuff. I like PowerShell. I think that being able to run PowerShell remotely over what's really a web connection now in 2012 is huge. That was always one of the biggest things. I mean, we could have, if you've ever done any Unix or router administration, you can SSH into everything. So if you have to do that over the Internet, it's easy to do. You SSH client, you SSH into it, and then it's like, wow, I wish I could do this with a server. And you go, well, you can, but you somehow have to first get into the server, especially if you're remote, either a VPN connection or a remote desktop connection, and go in and then say, okay, now I'll launch PowerShell.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can do PowerShell web access and just hit up a website, and now I can just use PowerShell. I'm into it, and I don't have to get into the GUI to do certain things. Mm-hmm. I think that would be huge, the more you see in PowerShell. But I'm a PowerShell fan. I've been using it since Exchange 2007, the beta. So, some people are afraid of PowerShell, but it's really very powerful. Now, the other thing I think we need to focus on in future releases is going to be, I think as we do this private cloud, public cloud, we need to have good ways to move systems back and forth seamlessly. Maybe one day we want to run a server or a virtual server in-house, and then the next day we say, well, let's put it in the cloud, or let's move it here, or what do we do in a disaster? And I know there's ways to do that now, but mm-hmm. maybe ways to automate that would be helpful. Say it's over a certain threshold, now we need to move this virtual machine into a public cloud only to get extra compute capacity or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to get more and more flexible. So it goes along with that also is the identity management. I've used ADFS in the past. It's still kind of hokey, mainly
okay.
because it's hard to understand what some of the terms are and how they work together, and it's kind of a gray area, but everybody's going to need to know how to federate all over the place.
Right,
so
right. Especially with acquisitions and mergers happening everywhere, constant.
Yeah, federation is going to be huge.
Yep. Very good, very good. I the PowerShell comments are great. I'm going to PowerShell Saturday in Atlanta tomorrow. Ed Wilson's going to be with us. He's been on the show many times and great guy. So want to talk a little bit about, where we're headed, what we're trying to do here in my area of Microsoft is drive awareness. So we're doing IT Pro Camps. I'm doing one at Georgia Southern. In a couple weeks, Geek Fest in Charlotte. What we do is they're all day, they're free events. People can come out, bring their laptops, do a hands-on lab with us, And sometimes we'll have lunch, sometimes we'll have giveaways. It just depends on the venue. And it's really a great thing to come out and see, especially even if you're brand new to Windows. It's a great thing to do just to start out, get your feet wet, see what's going on with the product. So I want to talk just real brief. If you have any kind of review out there, anybody who wants to talk about Windows Server, System Center, Windows Azure, SQL Server, you want to share your thoughts, feel free to check out the page at aka.ms/customer-reviews-stb. That's where Mike chimed in and loved the article, and that's why we have him on the show. I'm Tommy Patterson. You can check me out at virtuallycloud9.com. Really appreciate your time today, Mike, and keep it coming, man. Good stuff.